time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
The media tried to pin him down. Straight question. Excellent question. Journalistically sound. This is how you do like presidents. Tom, do you have a starting kicker, right? There's no wiggle room. He's pinned in.
Russ Gellinger.
They're been getting quite a bit of hate, and they always got hate at Texas, obviously. But on your last go-around, when your exit could have completely collapsed the conference in a way, you know, you're going to get a lot of hate.
And SI's Pat Forty.
People have certain, you know, proclivities or whatever. You know, like, people might like toes or something. He likes punters.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
Welcome to Pod Week 1. We're going to do three shows this week. We're going to do a race for the case later in the week. We're doing this. We were going to do two, but now we're so excited we're doing three. We'll do an overreaction show, but it will not be taped on Sunday as we normally tape them during the season. They usually will come out some point Sunday, sometimes early in the day, sometimes late. Definitely be there for you Monday morning every time as we overreact. This time we're going to push that back a day because the big game of the week is LSU Florida State on Sunday night. And then we will shift to three shows a week. Adjust your lives accordingly. Clear the decks, people. Season is here. So that's a little bit of what we're up to. Continue to subscribe and send us nice reviews. Please tell all your friends about us. Go to a game this weekend. You're watching games at a bar. You're going over to some friend's house. Find us a listener, please. Find us a listener. We need them. We like doing the podcast.
Everybody find one listener.
Find
and
a
then
friend.
Those listeners will find five listeners, and each one of those will find 10 listeners.
It's like, yeah.
There you go.
Wow. Pyramid scheme.
Pyramid scheme.
Tell a friend to tell a friend, except the damn thing's free. We're not Ponzi scheming you. We're not Miami Hurricane boosters here.
August is a record month anyway, right? We're already booming, but let's keep booming more. We're
yeah, even
talk
for regular
about football
seasons.
Now.
Even yeah. for regular seasons. But we can't talk about football, Pat, because Nick Saban won't release a depth chart. This is the funniest. I'm just so excited for week one. The big controversy in college football right now is that Nick Saban won't say who's on his team. Does it mean his team stinks? Does it mean he doesn't have a QB? Does it mean that they're so good? Does he have some sneaky genius going on here? Saban, no depth chart for the media. Those awful folks down there at the Tuscaloosa News trying to find out who the linebacker rotation will be. No info. What do you think?
I mean, it's like Saban's actually late to the party here, the paranoia party of not releasing a depth chart. A lot of people don't do that. He's always done it. And if he doesn't do it now, that tells me a couple of things, or I guess it tells me a couple of things I can interpret. We can interpret it however the hell we want, because if he ain't telling us anything, it's open to conjecture. So I will say his quarterback situation's trash, and he doesn't know what he's doing there, and so they're just going to keep it quiet till the last minute. Or perhaps even more realistically, and this is how deep into the paranoia you get, like, he doesn't want Texas's 42 analysts to already start breaking down film on whoever his starting quarterback is this week. They're going to have to wait until they get the film from Saturday's game against Middle Tennessee, because he sure ain't playing this game, this drama, for Middle Tennessee. So it's got to be for Texas. So he's hiding the quarterback so that Texas's 13 defensive analysts in charge of breaking down second and medium, second and long, third and short, they got to wait until Sunday. Unbelievable genius by Nick Saban.
Hiding Jalen Milroe.
Yeah. Hiding Jalen Milroe.
He knows the game. He started the game, the whole pre-scouting, you know, in the middle of the summer or whatever. So,
true.
And his former assistant is now head coach, as Pat said, at Texas. So, yeah, he knows how it works. So he's going to he's playing the game, man, playing the game.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. They released 2 minutes of video of quarterbacks throwing a ball to. Did you see this thing? Oh yeah, it was like it was like 5 yard outs to no coverage. It looked like a dad and his son just having a toss. I saw better passes in the Santa Monica Beach yesterday. Guys throwing it into the. Yeah, that was like, that's great. I mean, it was like, oh my God. UCLA, Chip Kelly's not afraid. He named Ethan Garbers his starting QB, but then he said Colin Scheel and five-star freshman Dante Moore will also play against Coastal.
Sure. Carolina. Just play them all.
Hey, play them all. Who knows? Ohio State has given the nod to Kyle McCord as their starting QB against Indiana. He beat out Devin Brown for the starting job, but Brown will also see the field against the Hoosiers. Everyone's playing transfer portal, the transfer portal bit. And then comes my favorite of favorites here, the real winner. Indiana coach Tom Allen will not reveal who his starting kicker is. against the Buckeyes.
Chestnut checkers, Dan.
Nicholas Radisic and Chris Freeman are locked in a battle for the starting kicker job of the Hoosiers that has overwhelmed the Indianapolis media speculation machine, clearly.
Yeah, because nothing drives speculation in the media that more than Indiana football. So
let's get Greg Doyle on the phone. Who is starting? Yeah. They said the media tried to pin him down. Straight question. Excellent question. Journalistically sound. This is how you do like presidents. Tom, do you have a starting kicker? Right? There's no wiggle room. He's pinned in. We do. Yeah. Those guys know all that. We're not going to post anything, but I feel good about that. I do feel like we have options. The secret kicker. Ross, you were a beat writer at LSU. Ever heard of anything? Like even Les Miles wouldn't go.
Even
for this.
Yeah, I've never seen this one. This is a first to hide the kicker. Also, I speaking of kickers, did you guys see Kirk Ferentz in his preview of their game? Made sure to mention that who are they playing?
Utah State.
That Utah State is a great punter. Yeah. A great punter. And as we all know, Kirk Ferentz loves him some punting.
You just know Kirk Ferentz spent weeks this summer at his lake house. Maybe he went to that lake instead of getting trashed out on the lake with all the other Hawkeyes on their swarm beer. Yeah, Lake Okoboji. He sat in a darkened room at his lake house and watched this guy kick at Utah State. Well, you know. Damn it, look at that kid kick the punt the ball. Why didn't we recruit him?
People have certain, you know, proclivities or whatever. You know, like might like toes or something. He likes punters.
No. That's what you want to do with your free time. You're harming nobody. Just watching some kid from Utah kick punt the ball all day.
Sure.
Kirk, you want to go out in the boat? Nah. Did you see this punt he had? When they played New Mexico State, pinned them deep. What is the starting kicker? Okay, do you sit there and go, all right, this is what I'm going to do here. We're not going to tell you who's kicking because I want Ryan Day to be confused. Maybe we'll play the kicker who tries to kick it through the upright, or maybe we will play the other kicker.
Maybe like if one's right footed and one's left footed and the ball's going to come off a little different angle, you know, a little different rotation. There's the master stroke.
I love it.
All of which will end. And by the way, every kick basically ends in one of two ways, touchback or a holding penalty on the return. So.
Yeah, that's true. Well, no, this is the field goal.
Oh, this
he actually named
guy.
His kickoff guy. He named his kick. I think Freeman has won the. Maybe this is tipping his hand.
Thankfully, we know that.
Tom Allen is, should be in the World Series of Poker.
Yeah.
Can't read him. He did say Chris Freeman would do the long kickoffs. Okay. I don't know, Nico. I don't know what's going on. I'm excited. I'm tuning in.
Oh yeah,
that's how you sell it. That's how you sell a sport. That's how you sell a sport. Who's the secret kicker?
Yeah,
I mean, Indiana. They need something. They got to have something. Come down to the game Saturday.
They struggle to get people out of the tailgates and into the stadium at Indiana. So if this will do it, by golly, drama over who your place kicker is.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see. We don't know who the kicker is. We got to get to the game as quick as possible. Watch warm up. See what the pecking order is.
Come on, Martha. Put away the chicken salad. Yeah. Let's go. We got to get in there.
The Hoosier fan boards are spinning. Mm-hmm. Spinning, I tell you. All right, a guy who does know how to promote things, Coach Prime. Now, he has been a huge top. We did not shy away from covering him when he was at HBCU, Jackson State. But now he's in the Power Five, if that still exists. He makes his long-awaited debut for the Colorado Buffaloes. Heads back to Dallas-Fort Worth, the Metroplex, where he has a house, big ranch, I think. Rossi wrote about that, and obviously started the Cowboys. They play at TCU. It's the big noon game on Saturday. Ross, your thoughts after spending a little time or talking a little bit to Coach Prime about what we should reasonably expect now that the actual – he did a good job hyping. He did a good job with his social media. He did a good job turning the entire roster over, running dudes out, running dudes in. But what's going to happen Saturday after talking to Coach Prime?
Well, in typical fashion, right, he's bursting with confidence like he often is. You know, he didn't go like position by position with me, but he hit the high notes in kind of just vaguely throughout superlatives for each group. You know, his linemen are nasty. He said his skill players fly around the football, and so his specialists are special, I think he said, or something to that degree. So he's excited. He seems really confident. You wouldn't think that he wouldn't be anything else. I didn't expect him to be anything else. But this game is kind of fascinating. And as Dan mentioned, his ranch, you know, there's a lot as it's kind of a fitting opening for him, a fitting debut for him at Colorado to be returning to the Dallas-Fort Worth area and playing TCU. He's got a ranch outside of Dallas, like a 100-acre ranch that he visits quite a bit. It's like in a kind of modeled after an Italian villa. It's got a couple lakes, and it's got the gator four-wheelers and pickup trucks and all that stuff. But also that's where, you know, he obviously starred for the Cowboys, won a Super Bowl, and that's where he started coaching youth football in high school football there. And then while at Jackson State, completing his first season there, he interviewed for the head coaching job at TCU. And was one of four finalists with Tony Elliott and Billy Napier and Sonny Dykes, who they end up hiring. But I talked to athletic director at TCU, Jeremiah Donati, about the interview. And Deion Sanders had just completed one of his first surgeries on his foot. He's had 9 total. And before the interview, he had completed his first surgery, and he was in the hospital like during the interview. So he actually did the interview from the hospital, but blew away Jeremiah Donati and was a finalist for the job. And, you know, I don't know where he was in that pecking of four coaches, but he's probably number 3 or so, you know. So he was, and he doesn't, you know, there are no like hard feelings or anything about it. But I'm sure that's burning him up a little bit, you know, that he could have been hired there a year earlier in a Power Five job at kind of his home. So it's kind of a fitting debut for him and the Buffaloes. And I don't know what to make of them, right? They have 50 new players. They're kind of an enigma. I don't know what to make of them. I don't know what to expect.
Yeah, I mean, that's the curiosity is intense and immense on that team. Like, what on earth will they look like? I don't think anybody really knows, and so big noon, big reveal for Colorado. But people, like, if you want to know why in the media. We're excited to have Deion Sanders in a bigger role, so to speak, at Colorado in a quote-unquote power conference. This quote that Deion gave my colleague Richard Johnson at Sports Illustrated is why. Richard must have apparently in asking the question, you know, alluded to a new proving ground for Deion at Colorado. This was Deion's answer.
Uh-oh. I see the, I can see the problem right there.
I asked a similar question.
Well, when you said a proving ground, I'm trying to figure out what do I have to prove? Like you said that I had to prove myself to somebody. Like, what do I have to prove? I've been in professional football for 14 years. I've been in college for another 4 years, so I think that gives me 17. Well, maybe 18. Anyway.
Yeah. Has to prove himself as a math.
It gets better. I've been on television for 18 years. I think the credentials are good. I got a couple of jackets in the closet I ain't buy. One of them, I think, is from the College Hall of Fame.
Yes.
The other one is from an NFL Hall of Fame. And I'm thinking one from the high school from Florida State Hall of Fame. I think I got this, dog. Beautiful. Oh, yeah. Deion Sanders, please stay forever.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, I'm not telling you who my kicker is, but it's all right. It's all right. I know. It's just fantastic. It is. Who knows? Yeah. Shador Sanders looked really good as at Jackson State, and he was would have had probably be in Power Five if his dad wasn't his coach already, right? As that level recruit, but like, how good is he? How good? What could he do here? They have the number one cornerback from each of the last two recruiting classes. So, like, they got two lockdown corners that literally no other school in the country has that much talent at corner. Now, they're a freshman and sophomore. Travis Hunter is a very, very good player, plays both ways. I'm guessing they're going to have trouble in the line. We also, like, TCU, very good program, obviously played for the national title last year, but they lost a lot, too. And so, you know, are they as stout that they're just going to run out? Super fascinating game. You could pretty much throw anything out there other than like 60-0 Colorado. Like a Colorado win or a Colorado close game would not stun me. 45-7 wouldn't stun me if it's TCU though either. So, we'll do our gambling picks. Like, well, I'm sure we're gonna have to pick this game. Like, yeah. Yikes! I don't. You got the stones to throw down on this one. Good for you. Yeah.
By the way, Pat, I asked a similar question to Deion, and my phrasing instead of proving ground was level. Like, you're at this level. This is your debut at this level. And here was his answer. Level? I've been at the highest levels. This level thing doesn't faze me. I don't know if you know, but we played in a Super Bowl or two. People say levels. I say, come on, man. It doesn't feel that way to me. To me, football is football. Forget the darn titles and the levels and understand the work. That's one thing I echo around my building. Forget the titles and do the work. You might not have the title of custodian, but if there's a piece of paper in the middle of the floor, pick it up. Oh, Deion.
I mean, he's got a point. He's going to step into Fort Worth and be like, oh, boy.
he definitely won't be. We'll see if his players are.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That one's going to be pretty interesting. We're excited that he's done it. I want to quickly let's take a quick break, and then we'll be right back with some playoff picks. All right, season's here. I want to get on the record here. Our playoff picks. I think we've all made them for Yahoo Sports and Pat for SI. I'm sure you made some. Let's go through our four playoff teams, as we're calling it right now. Pat, you want to go first?
Yeah, I'm trying to decide whether to go with the like pollination strategy of just like throwing out different picks to different outlets at different times, so that eventually maybe one of them are right.
Yeah,
that was one set of picks. You know,
that was the way I was going. Right. Yeah, cowardly, but you can claim victory later.
That's right.
Or
the bracket of integrity. Which way do you go here?
There's no integrity here.
No, there's none. All right. I'm going to throw this out I'm going to just weigh out on a limb here by saying Georgia is going to be the number one seed. And we'll end up hosting in the Sugar Bowl. And they will play number four seed Penn State there in the Sugar Bowl.
Ooh, juicy.
And the Rose Bowl semifinal will feature Michigan, number two seed, against number three Florida State. And we will have a Georgia-Michigan final. It's going to look like Georgia-Michigan when they played 2 years ago in the Orange Bowl. Georgia's going to roll them and going to be the first three-peat ever, unless you really want to count that hokey Minnesota 1934-36 thing, which I don't.
Interesting. Ross?
Well, I was trying to remember who I picked.
Well, you can pick whoever you Yahoo want. Sport. Let me go back to Pat's pick. You got Penn State. They're going to lose the East, but they're going to beat Ohio State, basically, so they'd be 11-1.
Ohio State's going to have two Big Ten losses for the first time since Luke Fickell was the coach.
Oh, boy.
Mm-mm.
Oh, boy.
Could be bad for Coach Day.
Yeah. That would not be good for Coach Day.
So Georgia, I've got as the number one seed. Got USC, Michigan, and Ohio State. So I've got Michigan and Ohio State both making it in some way, which we almost saw happen, actually, right last year. We've seen happen before in the SEC. So I've got Georgia, USC, Michigan, Ohio State. Georgia would play Ohio State because I've got Michigan winning the Big Ten. So Ohio State gets in without winning the conference. Georgia, Ohio State play. USC, Michigan play. And then Georgia wins, and they would play Michigan. I think I have Georgia, Michigan in the championship game with Michigan winning it all. So there you go, Wolverines.
All right. Jim Harbaugh, the first coach to win while sitting out a third of the season or a fourth of the season.
Yeah, I picked this whole thing before all that came down. But you know, I'll still keep it. I have Texas winning the Big 12, by the way, and Florida State winning the ACC, but them not getting into the playoff.
So the big thing to me is this season is about, can you do it three times in a row? And Georgia, can you win three in a row? And the reason it hasn't been done is because there's luck involved. There's like, you know, I don't know. There's so many factors that go into winning the national title, especially now. At the same time, can Michigan beat Ohio State three times in a row, right? So you have like this dueling thing of these two teams trying. These are the two kind of separate things. I just think Georgia's going to make this playoff regardless because of the schedule. It's a favorable schedule. Tennessee, Martin, Ball State, they get South Carolina at home, UAB. They're at Auburn, Kentucky at home, at Vandy, Florida in the cocktail party, Missouri visits, Mississippi visits. What do they got, like 10 home games? They have to go to Tennessee on November 18th, and then they get Georgia Tech at the end. Like, I don't see how they don't win the East, and they're in the SEC title game. So I'm going to pick them to make the playoff. I'm not doing the seeding. That's too complicated. I'm like Coach Prime. 14 plus 4 equals 17. I don't know. Maybe I don't know what they'd be. I think they could lose to LSU. I'm putting LSU in there. So I have two SEC teams, Georgia and LSU. And I'm going to go with Michigan, not Penn State, although because Penn State's got to show it. I feel like Penn State's where Michigan was 2 years ago, like prove it. Mm-hmm. And until they prove it, particularly when they go to Columbus in the middle of the season, and then they got Michigan, I think, visiting after that. You know, they got a ton of talent, Drew Aller, QB, all this stuff, a lot there. But they got to prove it. So I'm going to stick with Michigan in the Big Ten. And in my final pick, I don't know. I like USC, but now I'm soured on them. I like Utah, but I don't know if they can skate through the Pac-12. The amazing fact that the Pac-12 is going to be too good this year and get too many people watching, and then will disintegrate immediately.
We don't know whether Cam Rising's going to play, you know,
right, in the
opener.
And that's Florida visit and all that. You know, what do you do with that? So I'm going to go with Kansas State.
Ooh.
Winning the Big 12.
Okay.
And getting in that route. And I think Florida State, has got a chance, but I think I'm picking them to lose to LSU. I don't know. Those are my four. Juice it up. Not just because I want some of that Coach Tang beer from Manhattan Brewing Company. No, I actually don't send me the beer. I think the purple make it. I think they win the Big 12.
I like the purple. I picked the purple to win the Big 12 as well. Chris Kleeman's a super solid coach, and their quarterback, Will Howard's very good. Can you replace Deuce Vaughn? We'll see. I mean,
a lot of guys back, though.
Yeah. No, I mean, I like them. I really do.
And they beat TCU in that title game.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
They have to go to Texas. And they have a Missouri game, but I mean, it's there for them. I like K-State. Yeah. So I'm going to go that. And I think Texas, I don't think Texas can pull it totally together there. So those are my four. Speaking of Texas, Houston coach, Dana Holgorsen, the mullet was, on a radio show. He's on his radio show. And, he was asked whether the departure of Texas A&M, I mean, that was in 2011, but Texas and Texas A&M, I really should be Texas and Oklahoma, but whatever. Texas and Texas A&M made the Big 12 less desirable, and Holgorsen did not take kindly to it. He said those two schools had been blocking UH from the Big 12 for nearly three decades because they wanted to recruit Houston. There was fear of the Cougs. He said, screw them. They can go wherever they want. They don't want us, and we don't want them. Like it.
I tell you between that and Brett Yormark at the Red Raider Club, this is going to be a pissing match supreme all season aimed at Texas and Oklahoma.
Quite a swan song to head out for Texas. Chris Del Conte gave an interview with local media. I forgot who it was. It may have been like Orange Bloods or something a few days ago, and I think he gave him the quote, something like, we have to embrace the hate or something. And that was before all this came down. And so, yeah, he nailed it. They're going to be getting quite a bit of hate, and they always got hate at Texas, obviously. But on your last go around, when your exit could have, really could have completely collapsed the conference in a way, you're going to get a lot of hate. So this should be a fun season to monitor when it comes to that.
Yeah, looking forward to all this. Briefly, we're waiting still. We're taping this on Wednesday morning. We're still waiting for the ACC to eventually vote. They delayed their vote due to the shooting at the University of North Carolina this week. Any updates on Cal, Stanford, SMU? Do you feel momentum is still there that they're all getting in or out? We're going to have another pod tomorrow. Or we'll tape another one Thursday. Maybe something gets done. Our thoughts are with North Carolina's community going through that terrifying event and sad event. But Ross, anything latest on ACC expansion?
Well, as of 8:30 a.m. Central Time, no. I'm sure that could change at any minute. There was a sense that, I mean, I'm in Dallas today for the CFP meetings, and so is Jim Phillips, the ACC commissioner. So he's pretty bogged down today here. So I wouldn't think that we would have any kind of meeting today. I guess it could be Wednesday night after he's done at CFP meetings. I think the goal was always to get something done before these meetings started, because at these meetings is when they're going to discuss the format based on realignment changes. And with realignment, the ACC kind of in a way could hammer the final blow. And so the fact that it doesn't happen yet might stall some of the conversations at the CFP meetings, but nothing so far. Maybe they reconvene Thursday or Friday. It still seems like it's a kind of a murky, fluid situation with the votes. Seems to be going back and forth and back and forth, and with this situation is now going on a month, basically. And it's been really difficult. And it reminds me of the whole Big 12, Pac 12 expansion thing that lasted a year. It just keeps going back and forth and back and forth, and parsing through exactly what's going on and piecing through accurate information has been somewhat difficult.
That's for sure. You know, the indications that I got on, I'm trying to piece together my days now, whether it was Monday or Tuesday, whenever the meeting was going to happen, I think it was Monday night, was that the expectation was that these schools were going to be approved and they were going to get in. Whether that somehow was fickle enough that that has changed in these 2 days, I don't know. But take nothing for granted in this situation. And here's the excruciating thing. Like, if you're Cal, Stanford, and SMU, but especially Cal and Stanford, and you've kind of been holding off Oregon State, Washington State, and any other potential options, waiting for this to happen, now you're like, oh my gosh, okay, well, we got to wait a little longer. And here's the thing. The opening weekend is the big stage for the ACC, right? They play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And they've got the big centerpiece game Monday night of Duke and Clemson. They've got Florida State in the biggest game of the weekend on Sunday. Big games for them. And Jim Phillips last year, you know, made a point of trying to go to as many of these as he could. If he wants to try to hopscotch around and go to these games and be part of the scene. And if you are a university president hosting one of these games or playing a big one, you know, at a neutral site, you want to be there. You want to be pressing the flesh with the alums and the donors. It's like, this is a very busy 4 or 5 days for the ACC. Can you just say, hey, wait a minute, we got to vote on this or not? Do you have to deal? I mean, you would think you could multitask enough to hold a meeting and say, let's vote, and then let's get on with football, but maybe not. I don't know. If this could drag into next week, I guess is what I'm saying.
The votes are there. Shouldn't this be pretty quick?
Should be.
Right. If the votes are there, you would think that they could just call a Zoom, you know, and do get this over with in 10 minutes. That's why part of me thinks while the votes may have been there or might be there, that they plan a pretty long discussion maybe about this. So I don't know. It's like I said, it seems like a murky kind of issue. And then I think in the ACC, just like in any league, you know, you have kind of like cliques of teams that sort of stick together. I think North Carolina and NC State are kind of like a package deal there with their own state and politically. And then Clemson and Florida State have probably been the most vocal publicly and privately about the situation in the ACC and about trying to get out of the situation and get more money. So there's maybe kind of a click too of two teams that may stay together or vote together. So there's that kind of forming as well. If some of your biggest brands are against this, that certainly sways people.
I want to know what the clicks are in this. Now I'm intrigued. who are the jocks? Who are the nerds? Like, you know, Miami's the clique that's like trying to get someone to vape in the bathroom between class. Like, come on, just take a hit. Boston College and Wake Forest are like studying. They don't want any part of anyone. Syracuse is like the weirdo that doesn't have a lunch table. They're just, who had to get in? Where's Boeheim?
Virginia's driving their dad's BMW to school,
but getting like a C+, like a 2.5. Right. They can't even get into Virginia. Virginia is so spoiled, they can't get into Virginia. Virginia Tech's like the son of a plumber.
Yeah, Virginia Tech driving the pickup, and they're pissed at the BMW that's parked sideways, taking up two spots.
I think them and NC State should be together. Everybody hates Duke, but they vote them like homecoming king anyway because they're scared of them.
Everybody hates Duke.
Oh, I hate that girl, but you voted for her homecoming queen. I know. She's pretty. That's what I want to know. What are the clicks?
Oh, my gosh.
just one joint. Just take an edible. It's only chemistry.
The ACC is as Breakfast Club. This is great.
Yeah. What are the high school? We could make a high school movie on ACC. Other big ACC news, they've solved their distribution problems and revenue. They're going to, they've entered a deal to show football games in movie theaters. You see, away market. So if you're Clemson and you're playing at wherever NC State in South Carolina or whatever they deem their market, this outfit called Theater Sports Network and the ACC and ESPN will broadcast the games down at the old Cineplex. You get your big popcorn. Mm-hmm. You get your candy, you get your soda, and you get in there. And they got nice seats now at these theaters. And you can watch some game. I mean, we are getting closer and closer to my gas station TV joke becoming reality. Cheddar News.
It kind of sounds fun, but only if, you know, like, I mean, it's got to be like somebody's basement, though, you know, where you can stand up and yell back and forth and,
they sell beer. They sell alcohol a lot more at those theaters.
As long as you sell beer, if you sell beer, then you'll get people there, you know, but
you want to watch in a movie theater.
I don't know. Can I bring my whole crew and can we just act like we're in somebody's basement, or should we just sit in somebody's basement instead?
Exactly. I don't know. They think this is 75 games will be televised on the big screen. Okay. The New Year's Six bowl games, the college football, like who's can't wait for the New Year's Six game, like going to the theater for that. I don't know.
I mean, if you're the theaters are still having trouble getting people to come back, right? So I guess this makes sense for them to, you know, hey, come watch the football game.
Ross, did William Christopher, that boy Sweeney, did he see the Barbie movie? Do you think he went to Barbie?
Does he have, I'm trying to think, does he have daughters? He doesn't have young daughters, right? Aren't they grown?
Wife, maybe wait. Like, did he go to Barbie?
I can't imagine which
ACC coach was most likely to go to Barbie.
Dave Clawson.
Dave Clawson.
Yes.
Wait for it, Dave Clawson. Barbie fam.
I think that's kind of more his wheelhouse. I have a hard time seeing. I do not think Dabo went to.
What about Oppenheimer? Maybe Oppenheimer, something like that.
Clawson went to see that one too.
Clawson went to all of them.
Yeah.
I did see Mac Brown going. Sally and I went date night. Sally and I went watch a quality movie. A lot of pain.
All right, I was totally wrong. Yeah, Dabo doesn't even have a daughter. I thought he had one daughter and like three sons. Yeah. He just has three sons. Yeah. So no, definitely not.
Did not go see Barbie.
Yeah. Although that would have been pretty funny if Dabo were caught at a movie theater with his three sons watching Barbie.
I feel like if he was at the Barbie, there would have been someone would have taken a picture.
Oh, for sure. No doubt about it. The movie they're going to the Boston College fans are going to, Cries and Whispers by Ingmar Bergman. That's what most of their home games are like anyway.
Man, we're really throwing it on the ACC this. Here they are adding new teams and all of that.
When they finally do it, we can give them some credit or whatever we want to give them.
Yeah, if you just did it, we would have spent our time talking about that instead of this.
Yeah.
Get on with it, Jim Phillips. Come on. Story, we already talked a little. Everything goes back to Iowa on this podcast. This week begins the exciting Brian Ferentz contract saga at Iowa. If you're unfamiliar, the Hawkeye, much fan maligned offensive coordinator and son of head coach Kirk Ferentz. The team last year ranked 130th out of 131 FBS teams in total offense last year and 123rd in scoring offense. They average 17.7 points a game. Their motto is punting is winning. It's been a struggle. The year before, they ranked 99th in offense scoring and 121st in total offense. So the Hawkeyes put their foot down and said Brian Ferentz's rolling 2-year contract as the offense coordinator is no longer there. He now has a 1-year deal. And the only way, and he took a pay cut, and the only way he would get a bonus, and it would continue under the current terms of the deal, is if the Iowa averages 25 points per game and wins at least 7 games. So if you win 7, you're going to make a bowl. So that means you'd play 13 games. You'd need 325 total points for the Hawkeyes to score. It does not say offense. I read the terms. It's a very short amendment. So the defense can help him out.
Which they did last year significantly.
Yeah, it was a big part of this. So we literally have a scoreboard, not since Randy Etzel's incentive-laden UConn deal where he would like, do you have more total yards in the second quarter and he'd make $2,000? We had such excitement in a contract. And obviously we plan on monitoring the situation. They play Utah State. 25 points a game for the Hawkeyes. Pat, can he do it? Can Brian Ferentz help orchestrate this?
I can tell you this. This will be an ongoing saga all season on the pod. There is no doubt about it.
Couldn't be more excited.
Matter of fact, producer Sean Anderson has already put together a fantastic graphic that we will update with the point total in respect to the 25 points per game average. So can he do it? You'd like to think so. I mean, what a lofty goal to average 25. I mean, you know,
it was only 17.7 last year.
I know.
In offense.
It was And that's with Cooper DeJean scoring like 3 touchdowns, defensive back, 3 pick sixes. And they had a couple other defensive scores. They had safeties added in. I mean, they brought in Cade McNamara, quarterback, although he's got some injury issues. Not sure whether he's going to be 100% here to start the season. I mean, it's incredible that he kept his job. If his last name were not Ferentz, he would absolutely be at Grinnell College or something like that right now working. But can he do it? I'm going to say no, he does not get it done.
Oh,
and the contract gets him and he gets fired.
No faith, huh? No faith in the Ferentzes. Well, I don't really have any either. I don't know that they're going to do it as well. But even if they don't average 25 points a game, they still might win like 10 games. You know, it seems to be their thing is defensively winning games and doing it through special teams. Was it last year, the year before, that they had scored almost as many defensive touchdowns during a stretch as they did offensive touchdowns? That was amazing. I agree, Pat. I don't think they hit that mark, but I also think they probably still win 8, 9, 10 games.
Remember, it was like one of those great Miami, like that 2001 Miami Hurricane team. Like your defense would have ranked like 17th in total scoring.
Yeah, right.
They said Ed Reed or somebody just touchdown and touchdown. This is fantastic. I could not be happier that this happened. The thing is, it's you know, the Iowa people, they caucus, right? They love elections and stuff. You got to run up your margins at times. Like if they're playing Western Michigan visits in a couple weeks, they got some issues here. Utah State, quality program. They have 3 non-conference games at Iowa State. Now, we know half that team is out for gambling, as far as we know. And then Western, but like if they get up on Western Michigan, they could be punting for winning then.
Oh yeah.
You gotta get like 40, 45 against the Broncos.
Yeah.
See, that'll be one of the big tells about this, is where Kirk's trying to keep his son employed. You know, Kirk loves a plus territory punt. You know, punt from the other team's 41 and pin him back on the 3. Well, if it's 4th and 3 at the 41 and you've only got 18 on the board that game, maybe it's time to go for it a little more. I will just be fascinated and can't wait to microanalyze the decisions that are made here regarding scoring points for the Hawkeyes.
Well, then
Cooper DeJean was tied for the 3rd most touchdowns for Iowa last year. He doesn't play offense.
I can't believe that they put this in writing.
Yeah, that's great.
Like, what if it's 24 and a half points, but they go like 9-3, like Ross said, win 10 games? I guess they could just tear this up. It's not like you get thrown into a volcano if it doesn't, like, I mean, whatever. They'll figure something out.
That would be something.
That would be more exciting. That's
a good point. The Iowa fans would carry him into a volcano and toss him in.
Our offensive coordinator will perish if we do not.
Thrown into Lake Okoboji with
You'd be stuck going to Lake Okoboji with no alcohol. That's the punishment. Spend a weekend there. Then there's this two-game swing in November. Like, if things are going sideways, they go to Northwestern, which should be an absolute calamity this year.
Yeah.
November 4th, and then they host Rutgers, which is always a calamity, on November 11th. And that might be their time where they're like, we need points. Because statistically, at that point, they'll know kind of what they need. So this is going to be absolutely fantastic on all of that. We also have one more. I mean, I know it's all about. We do have the update, the truth about the butter cow, the butter cow at the Iowa. Yeah. Also, I got some blowback from the Illinois people, fans of the Illinois State Fair, that I'm bashing them for using this wire mesh. So you know, the state fairs out there. They make butter cows. They make butter statues. And I thought the whole statue was made of butter. But in fact, they build the statue and then they just cover it in butter.
Yeah.
And I find this to be a total fraud. And I'm unimpressed with your butter cow. You either stack up those little patties of butter or you don't. And they're talking the butter cow. And so Illinois does it. And in Iowa, does it too. The butter cow starts with wood, metal, wire, and steel mesh frame. And then about 600 pounds of low moisture, pure cream Iowa butter. And they do it up. Through the years, they've done a companion. This year, they did Caitlin Clark. They also did Kurt Warner and Jack Trice. They've done other. They did. They have a giant slide there. They did a celebration of the giant. They've done Tiger Woods, John Wayne, Elvis Pratt, Butter Tiger Woods. Harry Potter got one. Illinois does the same thing with this mesh. Here's my thing, Illinois. Your little Illinois State Fair is not as famous as the Iowa State Fair, even though you're a much bigger state. I think you should go with the real butter cow.
Yeah, you got to outdo them now. Come on.
Stop complaining to me that I'm making fun of your butter cow.
Very simple.
And calling it a fraud, just don't be a fraud. Mm-hmm.
We need the all butter cow, period.
And then you can make fun of Iowa like everyone else does.
That's right.
Maybe next year will be Brian Ferentz will be the butter Brian Ferentz.
I want to know who you're hearing from the Illinois State Fair.
Well, just a state fair enthusiast. I'm not official. Official situation there.
It would be kind of fun to have an official beef with, you know, the administrators of the state fair board or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, it would. Quickly, any other game we haven't discussed? We're going to talk a lot more games this weekend, but any kind of off the radar game that you're excited to see or player you're excited to see this weekend before we get to some other stories?
Yep. I'll start with gimme West Virginia, Penn State, and the player I most want to see is Drew Aller, the quarterback at Penn State. If he comes through, I think they are loaded everywhere else. Running backs, excellent. Receivers, good. They always got good tight ends there. Offensive line, they maybe have the best offensive lineman in the country. Defense, they've got some absolute stud playmakers. Drew Aller, highly recruited. Looked good in limited appearances last year, backing up Sean Clifford. Steps into the starting role, and if he comes through, this is their chance to potentially get over on Ohio State, which I believe has beaten them 6 in a row, and Michigan that's beaten them 2 in a row, but has really kind of shoved them back to third in the Big Ten East. So I want to see how Aller and the Nittany Lions look, and then also – Does Neil Brown have a chance to save his job at West Virginia? He's on the hottest seat probably going into the year. A lot of people thinking that could be a September job change if they get off to a bad start. Neil was really chesty, kind of feisty at Big 12 Media Days. They got picked last. He didn't like it. He said, we're not going to finish there, I guarantee it. So we'll see what West Virginia brings to Happy Valley.
Professor Gamey, you want to see?
I'm excited to see this this how this Michigan interim coaching plan goes. Wow. You got the co-defensive coordinator. He's going to be with the first game, right? He's going to be the coach of the first game, and then you've got the second game is Sharon Moore.
He suspended the first game.
Right?
Yeah. A lot of suspensions going on over there.
And then you got the two coaches, right? The special teams coordinator and safeties. Jim's son, Jay, is going to take the first half against UNLV.
Then Mike Hart the second.
Mike Hart is going to take the second half. We've never seen anything like this, right? And so I'm pretty excited about leave it to Jim Harbaugh, about seeing how this works in the kickoff of the season against East Carolina at noon. And I think that's a virtual only game, right? Isn't that the streaming only? Isn't that the Peacock?
That's a Peacock yeah.
game. Peacock game, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting to see how that goes too this season. You know, the Peacock.
They got Mike Tirico is calling that game. Mike Tirico is the biggest, most important guy at NBC. The guy is I always like Mike Tirico. He works.
Unbelievable. Good at everything.
I'll host the Olympics. I'll also do a noon Peacock game of a 53. It's like, what? Come on. Mike, take a day off. Man, come on. I think that I love that graphic Michigan put out.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Of who was going to be Jack Harbaugh, and they made it like, I mean, they like celebrate it. Like they cannot have recruits on campus the first 2 weeks also. Hmm. So that limited my proposal of getting Tom Brady 1 week and Charles Woodson the next week and somebody else. I still think they should have done that though. Trot Tom Brady out and then watch the recruits show up.
I made mention somewhere on the pod about Jay Harbaugh showing up as one of these, you know, game coaches. And lo and behold, it's happening.
Yep, there he is. So, yeah, that's pretty good. All right, kind of along Pat's line, I want to see Cade Klubnik play. They're playing next Monday Night Football against Duke, the Clemson quarterback, huge recruit out of Austin, Texas a couple years ago. Showed a lot late in his freshman year. And, you know, it's funny because we're going through all this stuff. We talked about playoff teams. We didn't mention Clemson. They weren't in our debate. But
little old Clemson, Dan.
Get them back. Little old Clemson. Go to the Barbie movie. Little old Clemson getting back to it. This is the guy that could bring him back. I mean, it's still Clemson. So can they bring that pop back that they had under Trevor Lawrence and Deshaun Watson and for so long were so good. This is a very, very talented player. So I'm pretty fired up for that.
New coordinator too, yeah, there, Garrett Riley going over from TCU and Dabo going outside of his family tree for once to hire a coordinator there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gonna be interesting. All right. This is clearly the most I really should have led with this, and I'm going to apologize to all our listeners for not. We did want to talk some football, but this is a serious concern. If you recall, earlier this year, Canada, the Alcohol Commission of Canada, changed their recommendations for how much Canadians should drink each week and lowered it to two beers a week.
Beers a week or two beers a day?
I thought it was two beers a week, wasn't it?
Two beers a week? Come on, man. In Canada?
Two beers a day? No, two a day. All right, two a day, but then not to... Well, you got the interview. Then the local news went to the man on the street and found this guy. Sean, do you have that interview?
Dan, I always have this ready.
Okay, thank you.
Attaboy, Sean.
This is what the Canadians think of this. I'm sorry, two a day was the limit.
What did you buy today?
I bought six Busch Light, six Bud Light, and I love them. Tall boys.
Tall boys? How much would you drink a day?
Well, what day? Regular day, I don't know. Maybe a couple beers, depends. Weekends, maybe, you know, five beer. Two drinks a week.
What do you think of that?
Well, that's just not feasible, not in this country. Well, come on, man. Two drinks a week. What's that going to do for you? I mean, that doesn't even get you through a day. A reasonable amount. If you're at home, you should be able to have like four beer. That's just two more. I mean, But four is a fair number. But there shouldn't even be guidelines anyway. Why are you going to tell me how much I can drink at home?
Well, I guess the idea is, would you be concerned that you're at a higher health risk if you're drinking too?
No. That's the main point here is, why are they telling me what I can drink at home? What, can I have 2 liters of pop? Can I have 2 liters of pop? Well, what's more healthy, 4 beers or 2 liters of Coca-Cola? Do the math.
So I'm guessing that this information about the new guidelines isn't going to change your life.
It's heartbreaking, and I can't even believe it.
Heartbreaking.
Heartbreaking.
Do the math.
Handle the tooth. Do the math.
Yeah, he only has like one tooth. And he said you can't handle the tooth. It is 2 beers a week. I was right.
Come on.
Okay, well, let's just say existential threat.
Yeah.
Okay? The director of the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism, the NIAAA, which I think is currently in a conference realignment with the... They just added Savannah State to the NIA. I don't know. Anyway, this guy, George Koob, tells my favorite newspaper, the Daily Mail, that the United States may follow Canada's footsteps on alcohol guidelines. Whoa. Currently, American guidelines recommend men limit themselves to 2 drinks a day. Now, can they be tall boys like our friend in Canada? Because that's the thing. His 4 beer is really like 6 beer.
Yeah. Do the math, Dan.
Tall boys. Do the math. I'm doing them. 16 ounce. Are the 25? There's the 24 ounce. Mm-hmm. Then there's the big one where they do the extra ounce. The Busch Lights, they go the extra ounce because 24 ain't enough. Get 25. Or it could be 40s. So what's a beer, right? Like it's all in one. Anyway, this guy, Koob, says, if there are health benefits, I think people will start to reevaluate where we're at. So if we go in any direction, it would be toward Canada. I don't want to become we should play that Rich Men North of Richmond song. But what the hell, Koob? You're not telling me I'm standing with Canada on this.
Well, Canada can have their own ideas. That's fine. You don't bring that one south of the border. That ain't happening. You want to go into a tailgate and say, limit 2 beer. Can't have 4 beer. Got to be 2 beer.
A week.
Working. Yeah.
What if you play Monday? What if the Clemson fan, they play Monday, then they play Saturday? You got to have 1 beer each game?
We should have led with this, really. This is an existential threat.
This is a threat to a lifestyle here, people. The call is coming from within the house.
This is tyranny.
I will stand up and defend her still today.
I mean, we've got it's supposedly like the longest peaceful border in the world of Canada and the United States. Well, it's not going to be peaceful anymore. They try to bring that action down here.
They keep sending bad ideas over here. You're going to find out what's up. Out what's what, Canada.
We're invading to the north.
We already took Gretzky.
Stanley Cup hadn't been won in Canada for quite a while. We got that too.
Who the hell even was like, well, I was going to have another beer, but the government told me. I've reached.
Not maybe, that guy we just heard from.
I got to wait till next Tuesday. Ross, are you going to have only 2 beers a week if this goob guy... He says he drinks a buttery Californian a couple glasses of buttery Californian Chardonnay a week. That's what he told.
Wow. Buttery Chardonnay. I'd pass on that. I'm going to pass on that. Yeah.
This guy should not be in charge of the alcohol.
Buttery Chardonnays per lifetime. About that.
This is disgraceful. Are you going to do 2 a week? Ross, you gonna follow the government?
No, I'm not gonna follow the government. No, and do 2 a week. 2 a day would be better. Like our boy said, make it 2 a day,
14
two
a
tall
week.
Boys a day.
But yeah. can you gear up? That's the thing. Mm. So you take a few days off, and then on Saturday for tailgate.
Saturday, go for 6 beer. Yeah.
Save up.
Six, yeah, six beer, right. Eight beer. Yeah.
I mean, go dry for all 14. Monday through Friday and then do all 14 on Saturday. Boom. Yeah. There you go.
I like it. Think there's a lot more listeners doing that than two beer a week. Sean, any shot two a week? I think it's nine. It's almost 10 a.m. Eastern time. You probably already had two today.
Oh, I'll get two before noon. To stick it to these Canucks. I'm not doing it.
Well, I'm just disgusted that of all the things there are many great aspects of Canada. This is not part. This is not one of them.
No,
I just no. Anyway, George Coob, I've got an eye on you. I'm watching. Two beer a week. All right, we're gonna be back later in the week. We'll have gambling picks. And we'll talk more in depth about some of the big games this week. Everyone's getting excited. It's coming. We're almost there. So continue to subscribe and tell your friends about us, and we will talk to you later.